This is the Chorus Call conference operator. The first question is from Antonio Reale of Morgan Stanley. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. It's Antonio from Morgan Stanley. Three questions for me, please. One on NII, another one on strategy and your views on bancassurance, and lastly, a clarification on cost of risk, please. The first one on NII, I see in the quarter, NII was positively affected by higher contribution from the government bond portfolio. What contribution would you expect from carry trade to NII this year? I see on slide 20 that you've increased your sovereign book in the quarter. If you could sort of elaborate a little bit more on what should we expect from carry trade going forward. That's my first question. Second question, you've mentioned and you've highlighted on slide 12 the internalization of your insurance operations, which is, as you put it in your words, a key pillar of your business plan, and I would say would contribute to a big shift in the bank towards a capital light model, which is clearly accretive to your ROE. So my question is, what would make you change your views to internalize the business? If you can maybe share the pros and cons, that I think would be extremely helpful. It seems like you would be price agnostic, as especially with the Danish compromise, you would free very little capital, unless I'm missing something, but you would lose quite a big part of your recurring earnings going forward. And you already sit on quite a lot of capital anyway. So I just wonder, if you could elaborate a little bit more your thinking there, that would be extremely helpful. And my last question is really a clarification on cost of risk guidance for the year. We've discussed it before. You're 2 years ahead with respect to your NPE targets. Your default rate is early stage, but is running up below budget. And I see you're talking about annualized cost of risk at 54 basis points. You're in your outlook on slide 22. I know there are many moving parts, but is this your? Are you feeling comfortable enough to make this your new guidance for cost of risk this year? Thank you.
Thank you. Carry trade contribution. We start from the point that, of course, we will miss from July 50 basis points from TLTRO, which we said is almost 90 million in total. We feel step by step a bit more confident that through the Govies portfolio increase and through the action we can still do, again, leveraging on the potential carry trade that we have from the cost of funds from TLTRO, which, as you know, is not a fixed cost of fund, but is an average cost of funds, and the possibility to invest short-term either in deposit, simply in deposit, or in other, let's say, free risk opportunity, we think that we can increase and possibly try to recover a good part of the missing contribution coming from NII, of course, or coming from TLTRO 50 basis point reduction. Of course, it's difficult to make clear assumption about that because, of course, you know that rates are changing very quickly, and still we don't know exactly if the TLTRO will assume the same form that it has right now. But for the time being, we think that with the current situation, we can have some very good carry trade contribution also from this aspect. So leverage both on the Govies at higher yield that we bought and we are still buying to replace the maturity. And with this arbitrage, we can possibly try to offset the negative side of TLTRO. Let's also remember that we, of course, through the straight sale that we had, the forward sale that we had end of last year, of course, we have some strong amount of Govies going down during the year, which we will replace time by time. Second question, bank assurance. We still feel that internalization is a good point. Of course, is a it's very generic to speak about bancassurance. They are basically two completely different business, life and non-life. We are going to be week by week more in deep in the different aspect of this business. Of course, there are Danish compromise advantage that you can capitalize more on the life rather than on the non-life. So having been object of this interest from strong insurance company, we feel that is only our interest to explore if there are strategic or financial or operational aspects that can try to beat the business, the internalization that we have under our business plan. Let's wait and see. Of course, it's not something that we are obliged or forced to do. It's an option, and we feel that is good for us to explore all the options. Cost of risk. Yes, we are very confident that last year we said 55 basis points was the core cost of risk. Of course, we reduced a lot also the NPE target for 3 billion. So we say that this year we had only 1 billion in our of disposal as our target. The inflow rate, the default rate and the inflow coming from performing is very low, so this allowed us to provision in something more in order to increase and to have to match all the opportunity that we feel in terms of single asset disposal. And if the situation continues this way, we can really be confident that the cost of risk will be at the level of the first quarter. Let's wait and see, because you know that the situation, the geopolitical situation and the effect of the energy cost increase and raw material cost increase possibly can give some potential problem in the next quarter.
That's good. Thank you very much.
The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the presentation. The first question is on the trend seen in the first quarter in terms of product placement and the attitude of customers. I saw that in March the trend in fees was still quite good, and also you placed a quite high level of products. So I was wondering if you see a sort of slowdown now, that it's now two months that the war started, or still this could be a trend confirmed in the coming quarters? And also the attitude of customers looking at government bond yields. Now the BTP, the 10-year BTP is almost at 3%. So customers are starting to look at govies again rather than buying asset management products. The second question is on cost of risk. It's quite low, very low. The default rate has further improved. It's clear the guidance you just gave on 55 basis points is underlying the cost of risk. I was wondering why such a good trend, not just for you, but for the sector. What do you think? It's a matter of origination, better origination in the last few years, government support to corporates. I don't know if you can give some color on that. And finally, on bancassurance, I understand you are thinking about the internalization rather than disposal. In case of internalization, there is a phase-in in terms of capital impact, phase-in compared to fully phased. I mean, there could be a negative impact of more than 30 basis points when you buy Covéa minorities, and then after having bought the Vera Assicurazione stake, you will have a release thanks to the Danish Compromise. If you can elaborate a little bit on that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carrese. Basically, April was so good as March, because if you consider that April is only 19 working days versus 23 working days of March, you can see that 1.4 billion compared to 1.6 billion is an average of 50 million per day, and we do almost 65 to 70 million per day. So basically, April is even better. May started even better than that, because we have an average of more than 70 million in the first week of May. So basically, I don't fear too much the level of investment product placement, also because our target, our plan is not based on a strong increase of investment product placement. They only have to reach in 3 years 4.9 billion, rather than from the conversion of deposit into asset under management. This, of course, has been slowed down because of the prudent approach of our client during these first months, especially from February, from the Ukrainian crisis. But we still feel that there are many products, and of course, with the right products, let's again, thanks to the bancassurance life products, that can be offered to clients in a moment in which inflation is at such a peak, and we have to try to defend our client to leave money on current account, and basically having the negative effect of inflation versus zero interest rate in our current account. So still we feel that there will be a good attitude from our client. And again, we are also increasing our deposit base, so that this is also going to foster possibly this situation. Let's have in mind that of course we are very much under the question mark of the evolution of the geopolitical situation, and of course if this will be stopping somewhere, there could be some stronger recovery also on this aspect. Cost of risk, why so low? Basically, we think we are a good prudent approach. So it's low, but it's not so low vis-à-vis other competitors. Still, we have a very prudent default rate in our forecast, which up to now did not materialize. Is almost half of the current default rate is half of the forecast that we put in our budget. So we have a lot of room to be prudent should the situation deteriorate, or to be very fortunate to have a low cost of risk and fostering net profitability.
Could you remind us, maybe in the presentation I missed, the overlays you have, if you released some overlays in this quarter? And also on bancassurance, interest rates going up, this means because in the business plan you embedded basically, if I remember properly, minus 15 basis points Euribor in 2024. So interest rates going up faster should help you to make more money on bancassurance. Is it correct?
Overlay on cost of risk, of course, we still have what we had with the moratoria scenario. So we were provisioning also on the performing loans and on stage two a good amount of provisioning, which of course we are not moving because of the geopolitical situation, is an amount of around 40 to 50 million. In terms of NII scenario. As you remember, we have only in 24 Euribor movement towards zero. Meanwhile, in 2022 and 2023, we don't have any embedded positive effect. So whatever comes is all on top of our forecast.
I was wondering on bank assurance rather than NII. Interest rates up should help you to make more money or not on life insurance?
No, it will depend. Of course, it's a question also of capital, not only of different tools that we have in bank assurance. Normally, if you refer to Ramo Primo, of course, a recovery in interest rates should help and could foster again a recovery in this kind of product. But during this last year, with lower negative interest rate, we were also able to switch from Ramo Primo to Ramo Terzo and Multiramo, which are also more interesting both for banks and clients.
And on the phasing of the capital impact from bancassurance, Danish Compromise?
Yeah, you're right. The phase-in is almost 30 basis points, which then with the Danish should, for the first part, of course, for this, let's say, for the BPM Vita, for the Covéa joint venture, then becomes positive 5 basis points with the Danish Compromise. Meanwhile, we feel that another advantage to start the application for Danish Compromise at this stage with the incorporation on the first joint venture will give us also the opportunity not to wait too much to get the total Danish Compromise also in time to incorporate Vera.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next question is from Noemi Peruch of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one is on govies. So you bought 4 billion of govies in the quarter, that compares to 9 billion of disposals in the last 6 months of 2021. Do you plan to replenish your portfolio in the coming quarters? And can you give us an update of the common equity sensitivity to 100 basis points or higher sovereign yields? And I have a follow-up on cost of risk. So given the change in the macro environment, do you expect to update your IFRS 9 assumption in Q2? And did I understand it correctly that if so, you would not offset it by releasing some COVID overlays? Thank you very much.
Let me be more precise about this disposal and what we have already done. I think we have done forward disposal for almost 9 billion. The total concluded maturity of this year will be 12 billion, and we have bought a bit more than half this amount up to now. Sorry for the sensitivity, I cannot give an answer because, sorry, 7 billion, 7.5 billion out of 12. Sorry for the sensitivity, I'm not in the position to give you a right figure, but I think you can recover a quite fair amount if you consider the loss that we have in Q1 vis-à-vis the option contribution in terms of positive NFR. Also, you have the basis point, so I think it's easy to have the sensitivity for what we have done. Of course, it's a sort of work in progress, and it's difficult right now to give how much could be the effect because it's a moving portfolio. The third question is update. Again, we had, I think, further 30 million, I think, in Q1 linked to IFRS 9 for the further disposal. Of course, the one that we already provisioned in Q4 were related to the Argo disposal.
Sorry, I am referring to the IFRS 9 macro assumption on the entire portfolio, given the macro environment and GDP downgrades that we are currently seeing. Thank you.
As I mentioned before, we had a scenario with the moratoria, which of course made some provision under IFRS 9. Now we have updated the scenario to the geopolitical situation without releasing any of the IFRS 9.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. I have a clarification and a question on the outlook. The clarification is on the bancassurance. You are starting, you know, an evaluation process for the business, but shall we take for granted that you would go for a JV, or is that just an option that you can activate or not? And the second question is on the outlook for 2022. Well, first of all, I was wondering whether, there are still several moving parts on the NII, higher rates, lower TLTRO benefit, increased contribution from govies. I was wondering whether the run rate of the Q1 that was very, very brilliant is, can we consider it sustainable for the next couple of quarters, when excluding then the 90 million euros of contribution from the TLTRO. And more broadly, I'm looking to the guidance that you are giving us, and thank you for that, for the net income in 2022, where you see grow in the net income vis-a-vis the 2021, that was something like 550, 560 million euros. Consensus is for a decrease in the net income. If I look at Bloomberg, it is 525 million euros. But if I pencil down the cost of risk guidance of 55 basis points for the full year, and you do assume some volatility on the revenues here and there, you would seem approaching the 2023 net income target of 700 plus million euros. So what I'm missing here? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Razzoli. You are very optimistic about the scenario. We cannot be able to be so optimistic as you are, but we are very confident in what you said. So, of course, the option to increase the profitability are there, and the first quarter shows that we have a big capability and still some ammunition if you think to NII, for instance, not so much in relation to last year results, of course, or this quarter results, which was affected by the full impact of TLTRO, but from the possibility to offset the 50 basis point of extra premium with some managerial action and the govies portfolio. So for sure we are trying to recover the potential losses that we have from the TLTRO. For sure, also the Euribor is going to give an end to still have some good ammunition in order to increase the NII, as well as in terms of cost of risk, we with the current default rate, we would be able to do much better. But we cannot bet on the current default rate because you know that the situation and the forecast are not that normal as usual, I would say. So good for us that we have been not yet eaten by any situation. Good for us that we are lowering our stock, which of course is a cost in itself. So we are reducing the cost of risk related to stock. So until we will have low default rates, we will be able to have a very solid cost of risk. Question mark, the geopolitical situation. Sorry, bancassurance, I didn't answer because I think it's quite clear what I said. The focus for us is internalization. we have been solicited by many important insurance company willing to propose potential extraordinary transaction. We will see what they propose and we will judge if they will be better than a standalone proposition. But until we don't see, it's difficult to give you an answer because we are still working on the internalization.
Thank you.
The next question is from Adele Palama of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, thank you for taking my question. I have a question on the capital. If you can remind us the headwind and tailwind that you're expecting for 22 and 23. And then, I know you talk about the 30 basis point or 5 basis point for Covéa on the impact on capital with or without Danish compromise. But can you remind us which is the expected total impact from the buyback of, including also the joint venture with Cattolica? And then can you tell us the coverage that you currently have on your Russia exposure of the 108 million. And then the last question is on the L2Collect portfolio, on like the government bonds. Can you tell us the average yield of that portfolio, the maturity, and I was wondering if you have any flexibility to dispose part of the of that portfolio every year, if you have an internal limit that you need to comply or regulatory limit that you need to comply. Thank you.
Technical question. I will try to give you some answer. Otherwise, of course, we can then do a more precise job with our investor related people. Let's say that you are right, as I mentioned, 30 basis points would be the impact from Covéa, but as I mentioned before, it's just a phase-in impact because at the end of the Danish compromise will be a tailwind rather than an headwind. The same is going with Vera because being the potential acquisition forecast to be executed in the second half of 2023, we could be also in the position to already have the Danish compromise if we start in July this year with the request for authorization. Coverage of Russian exposure is basically the stage 2 coverage. As we said, we have only 80 million of exposure with Gazprom, so stage 2 is well enough, in our opinion, to cover this risk, and 44 million of letter of credit, of which the vast majority not yet utilized. So, putting in stage 2, we think that the coverage will be enough in order to cover the potential risk. All in all, it's 140 million of exposure. Frankly speaking, I'm not able, I think I'm waiting for some help from my colleagues. I don't know if we have the average yield maturity on each of the different category of govies. I think we can give you some information with our IR. Edwin, 2022-2023, we said, I think, that we had until 2024 some tens point of Edwin. Frankly speaking, now I don't remember. I think it would be more in 23 rather than in 22, and then nothing less until Basel IV with the beginning of 2025.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Luigi Pedone of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Two questions from my side. The first one is on inflation. I was wondering which is the effect of the rising inflation on your cost base. And the second one is regarding the NII and the sensitivity, because the BAMI is one of the banks with the highest sensitivity on NII from an increase in rates. But which is your expectation regarding lending volumes, commissions, and cost of risk from such a sharp increase of rates? Thank you.
Thank you. On cost, we don't have a big expectation of inflation, because, you know, we already have the contract for the workforce already concluded, so there are the normal, I think it's almost 2% of increase already now embedded in our figure. Meanwhile, we of course are also exposed to some increase in cost of energy, but is really not so material in terms of affecting the cost base. All in all, thanks to reduction of cost of work, the cost we think will be lower, of course, of last year. The NII sensitivity, again, I mentioned the figure, is 40 basis points, is 150 million, and 100 basis points is 415 million, to which we could also add some further tens of basis points if we have an active portfolio management on the exploiting the TLTRO opportunities, leveraging on the lower cost of funds and the possibility to invest at higher cost. So this opportunity would even inflate a bit more the sensitivity to NII. As far as the effect of our client, up to now, of course, there was a sort of running towards lending, both in terms of mortgages and in terms of customer or corporate loans, because everybody fearing a further increase is very willing to fix the rate. So as you were seeing in our figures, we had a record of new loans granted this quarter, and still the situation is this way. Now we have to see also if the measure from the government recently, a couple of days ago, announced will have the same effect of the moratoria and of the loans granted for the pandemia. So still too early maybe to understand. For sure there are a lot of loans that have to be refinanced, and also some loans granted under the pandemia that has to be refinanced. So up to now a good situation, but again it's difficult to have a clear forecast with such a complex geopolitical situation.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Hugo Cruz of KBW. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Sorry to insist on the M&A and the bank assurance, but just the two questions there. On the bank assurance, do you have a deadline to finalize your review? You know, is it going to be just beginning of next year when you can exercise the remaining call options, or will you give clarity to the markets before then? And then I've noticed that there's been some press speculation around the potential sale of the merchant acquiring business. If you could comment on that, it would be great. Thank you.
Okay. For bank assurance, of course, to exercise the second call, we have the first half of 2023. So from January to June we can exercise the call in order to start and internalize the activity from July. We don't have any set maturity for the potential process of joint venture, of course. Meanwhile, as well, we don't have any news about the merchant acquiring. We have been also in this field approached in the last months, by many potential reverse inquiry. We have seen a lot of movement characterizing both Italian banks and international banks. We still have to understand what is better for us. For sure, it's important to know that we have another potential strong ammunition to increase our profitability or our capital base. So this is a lever that we will exercise after we will have decided the final discussion in bank assurance.
Thank you.
The next question is from Marco Nicolai of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. I've got a couple of questions. The first one, again, on bancassurance. Now that you exercise one of the options, do you have a clearer idea of what level of synergies you could expect on the internalization of the full bancassurance perimeter? And again, on this, you reiterated a 125 million net income contribution. When do you expect to share the revenue impact of this consolidation and also the costs related to it? And second question on distributions. Today, one of your competitors announced the approval of a buyback tranche, showing that regulators are still open to approve plans when capital levels are adequate. So in light of this, and also in light of the sensitivity you showed at the latest result presentation, the one regarding the 70% payout CET1 sensitivity, could you please update us on your thoughts around buyback and distribution in general? Thank you.
Okay. Of course, for bank assurance, we are not yet in the position to give you all these details, but what I can say is if we make reference to 125 million, we already say that the anticipation of the internalization of Covéa will bring, I think, something like 30 million in 2023. Of course, in 2022, we will have half an year, but there will be also some impact from the PPA when we will have the fair value on the final acquisition. So it's difficult to make some forecast, but it's, I would say, negligible for this year. Not yet many details about the split between synergies in revenues and cost. This is something that we will be also eager to understand in exploring potential external opportunity. Buyback is an old story. I say that, of course, we will. When we presented the full year 21 results, we said that we will be very much able, provided that the fair level of capital would have been 12.5%, to increase our distribution to shareholders, both through increase of payout and also potentially through buyback. But as I said the last time, being the first year that we are able to contribute a 50% payout, very important for us for the first year, we were not in the position to examine the option of the buyback. If we will be able to be so consistent as we have been in the Q1, also for the second part of the year and for the year to come into the plan, we say that we will explore also the buyback. Is a question that depends, of course, of the price to book of the bank, of the different situation that we will be able to examine. But rather now, I can only say that it's for sure a good opportunity, but has to be examined when is the right moment.
Mr. Mr. Castagna, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you everybody for being with us, and I hope to hear to see you directly during the next week to go deeply into this set of results. Good evening.